The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 598. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
Scientists at CERN's Large Hadron Collider accidentally turned lead into gold recently, meaning we got alchemy before we got GTA 6.
Returning to us once again, Mr. Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And of course, Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, we're back. We'll see what happens with Brian. Chris, I didn't hear you sneak into back, man. I was like, oh shit, Chris is here. Well, through the intro. Good stuff.
He's like, yeah.
Yes, throw down. Why are we talking like this?
I don't know.
Happy second anniversary of Concord, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Barry Burton.
Also, happy second anniversary of the greatest game that has supposedly ever been created called Astrobot.
Oh, look at that. They both came out at the same time.
Well, Astrobot, remember, Astrobot lived so lived when Concord died.
Man.
I think the same day that Astrobot released is the same day that fucking Concord got canceled. Our feature is literally that it's Astrobot crying in front of the Concord.
That's
grave.
Funny.
wouldn't that 2 year anniversary be next week then of the year the time it got shut down?
Probably, but yeah,
I remember it being a few months.
Was it? I thought it was like 2 weeks. It was alive.
No. Concord was 2 weeks. 2 weeks of it was done.
Okay. Rich, how long were you able to play the game?
I'm guessing that nobody at Stop Killing Games is fighting for.
Man, you're Concord. You're thinking of High Guard. That's the one that died in 2 months.
Oh, okay. I don't know, man.
Get that trash out of here.
You know? Lasted just a little longer.
Wait, how can you get those two confused?
Yeah, right?
I don't know. I mean, when it comes to those games, it's Tuesday.
Yes. Trash. All right, man. We're back with another one answering your gaming questions. So without further ado, let's get into it. Mob Hits. First question of the night. I know the situation with Rockstar and the GTA 6 leaks might seem hilarious and all, but realistically, what are the ramifications for the game industry and Take-Two if the playable build gets leaked in its entirety? Listen, the way shit is going, that's going to happen. I'm already hearing rumors, and Brett, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, that the ending has already leaked.
It has been moving so fast. I even messaged Tony. I was like, this shit got interesting because there's like a dead man switch and they have taken Microsoft and somebody, I want to say Discord, court to get the release of new information. Like, shit is moving so fast. And at the same time, nothing is happening. It's fucking beautiful. But at the same time, like, I hate to be a cynic here, but what could happen? Nothing. GTA gets hyped up and advertised for free. It gets hosted on torrent sites before it is immediately flagged and taken down by their uber rich legal team with millions of dollars behind them. And everybody decides that they would rather actually just pay the pre-order that they already have than risk getting their console shadow banned or remotely bricked or whatever the fuck is going to happen. So nothing is going to happen. Advertisement. Okay.
I agree. Like, there's no incentive to playing it early when there's a chance Rockstar will come after that ass. Look how hard they're going right now. You think they know you're playing their shit, they're not going to go after you? They absolutely will. And let's just be honest here, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong about this assessment. I don't think the majority of people who are buying GTA 6 even know this shit's happening.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
I don't even think that they know this is happening. They're going to be like, oh shit, it got leaked. I didn't know.
As far as, I mean, you know, some people, even when I mentioned it, like, you know, on my account, like a few people were like, hey, what happened?
Yeah.
Nobody know. They don't know.
Regular people don't know. The only people that like would know how to torrent it and play it are not, we're probably not going to buy the game anyway.
Also, yeah, you know? And that's the other thing. It's like, okay, so getting it to work, you know, doing all the process of trying to get it to work. Normie gamer don't give a shit.
Exactly.
Normie neighbor gamer is just going to be like, what? I don't know. I don't know how to do that. Can I just throw it in? Can I put it in there and it just works? No? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm with Brett on this one. Nothing's going to happen. This is just a very interesting story for us to cover. That's really what it is, because this is super fascinating, all this shit. By the way, now, again, because these guys have a fucking website where they're taking donations for their Bitcoin. Now they're like, you know, what do you guys want to see next? And dudes keep giving them money. It's like, it's insane.
It's about as bad as Netflix taking money for a trailer. It's like now you're paying for leaks.
Yeah, but you know what? They've been on it though. Every time something wins, it gets posted. So at least they're giving people what they want, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Go ahead, Brett.
At this point, I'm the only person who wants to see this. I want to see CyberLeaks be a hacker group from in-game in GTA, and this is all just a PR stunt.
That'd be amazing.
It would be hilarious if it was connected to GTA, but then that would also fuck over the stupid Netflix deal, right?
Yeah. You know, like that is true. Like, that is very true. Go ahead, Manny, go ahead.
As far as like viral marketing goes, usually viral marketing doesn't attempt to step on toes. Usually it's like, it's either the viral marketing or it's the forward facing marketing. They never like, oh, we're just going to put out all this footage, you know, and then,
yeah,
you
know, that'd be too good. I don't give them that credit, but that would be amazing. That's what I want to see happen and be like, oh, got you.
Yeah. Echo Crimson, don't feel sorry for these. He says he feels sorry for the people who are paying for this stuff. No, don't feel sorry for them. They're dumb.
They're crying at a big pile of money.
Yeah.
Like as far as like people,
he's talking about the people that are falling for this nonsense. Like, I'll give you money so I can get another leak. He feels sorry for those folks. Yeah,
those are the people that have more money than sense. You think people exactly. who are broke are the ones that are doing this?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Like, yeah, yeah. I don't. You know, I think it's just like some of these guys, they got money. They're gonna throw a little bit at it and just like whatever. I don't think it's people being legitimately people being grifted out of, you know, like they're not tricking anybody. They're giving people those
that things. Makes it worse because they know what they're getting themselves into.
They know what they're getting into.
Dude, it's going to be this or cam girls.
Right? Oh, man. Do those still exist?
Sorry, OnlyFans, whatever the fuck. The
there you go.
Is.
I was about to say, I was like, hey, Brett, do you remember Suicide Girls? Like, how far back are we going?
Oh, no.
Oh, I remember Suicide Girls. Yeah, no, it's you know, they're OF girls or what they're.
Yeah, that's what they are.
Bot girl.
Yeah, E-thoughts? I don't know. But yeah, don't feel sorry for them. They're idiots. But yeah, no, I don't, again, like Brett said, it's not going to affect anything. You know, it really isn't. It's just a very interesting story for us to cover. I don't even, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't even think this has hit the mainstream media yet. Like, I'm not seeing CNN reporting on this shit. CNN was reporting about no diss, no buy, though. You know, or at least PlayStation getting rid of diss. They were reporting on that. Normie media covered that shit. I haven't seen them cover this yet, you know?
Yeah, I think the only time that it really gets, I feel like it would really get, like, done up if something... I'm not gonna say that it's something bigger, but something bigger than
this. Yeah, hot coffee. Remember that? Hot that coffee. Was another yes. big one. That got mainstream attention.
And the thing about hot coffee is it need like the problem with it is that you normal people couldn't openly access it.
That's right.
You had to use Game Shark or some shit to even get it to work.
Yeah.
No, but it sounded good. Like I can hear why. Like you know, video game has hidden porn. Is a mainstream article. Like, here's the problem with it. Like, no matter how big GTA is, you know, it, highly anticipated video game gets leaked just doesn't sound like news.
Yeah.
No.
To normies, yeah. To the game media, like obviously, you know.
I mean, like, you look at the bigger leaks out, the other leaks that have happened too. Those, you know, like the data thing, like the one with Insomniac, or the one with fucking the guys who make Cyberpunk. You know, every single video game, almost every single video game studio has been hacked and had, you know, shit that they didn't want out there in the environment, but that's never hit the mainstream media.
Yeah. This probably won't either, you know.
I don't think it will, unless something else bigger happens. Like if they find something in there that's really crazy, that's when you start. It's something like you said, hot coffee shit.
Yeah,
you know,
that's beyond that level. It's interesting. All right, anybody else have any thoughts on this? All right, take that as a no. So move on. Jam XM Rhesus. This one's an interesting question. Is it wrong that I feel conflicted about the GTA 6 leaks? On the one hand, I feel completely sorry for the developers who have worked on this game for years. On the other hand, if the suits aren't playing fair anymore, being anti-consumer and anti-physical media, pushing no ownership, in my opinion, it is what it is. What happens, happens. Yeah, I don't think there's anything. Go ahead, bro.
Somebody help me understand this. To the developers, like, I understand if like their game were being ruined or everybody were shitting on it, where that would be. But like, they get paid even if the game isn't released, and people are so excited about it, they're previewing it. Like, I maybe if I'm the developer, I'm like, I don't really necessarily give a shit. If people want to spoil themselves, that's their own fucking prerogative. Same with movies. Like, if you want to spoil yourself, if you want to read all the tabloid headings or whatever, if you want to again look up a spoiler on the internet before you go, like, I will always, as a creative, have a this is the way I prefer you to view the material, but like, you do it however you want. I give zero shits, so I don't really see where the developer, the average developer who's putting it their 9-to-5, because like, this is not their lifelong opus. For most people, this is their job that hopefully they enjoy and feel has meaning. But like, honestly, for the most part, nothing's being really ruined here. So somebody help me understand why I should feel bad for the developers.
Yeah, like, I get. Yeah, go ahead, Manny. Go ahead.
Oh, well, you know, I definitely understand that. But I think a lot of times, and it also depends. It depends on how you view the products, the things that you put out, right? There are definitely a lot of people that treat the things that they make as more than a job, even if they're just like, you know, like, hey, I made this thing for so-and-so studio, you know, like, it's hard for them to separate them. And I feel like that's one part of it. And they want people to be satisfied and happy, you know, surprised in what they're putting out into the world. That's the one end. I think that's where the sort of feeling sorry for the developers comes from, where it's like, they, you know, obviously they want it to be that thing. But I agree with Brett on this. Like, it sucks that the thing that you put, you know, you put a lot of work out there is getting leaked. And I've had that situation happen with a lot of the comic books that I've worked on, where, in other words, you have these reviewers that just literally blurt out the whole plot in the fucking byline, like the front of their thing. And I think that's,
oh, fuck annoying. That noise. And I will still hate on everybody that just spoiler shit on Twitter and all that shit. Like, don't ruin story and shit for people. But like, ultimately for the developers, I don't think they're catching too much slack.
I don't feel like they're gonna catch too much slack off of this. I know that a lot of the people are, you know, some of the conversation has gotten a little bit, you know, off, you know, nasty. And, you know, I remember hearing rumors that they're saying, you know, oh no, excuse me, that's the wrong game, that's the Wolverine, sorry, I'm thinking Wolverine. that they're telling the developers to be on it. But I don't think that in this situation the developers have anything to worry about as far as title goes, because it's just so anticipated. I just think that, like, I feel like if you're talking about a situation where it's a little tiny company, you know, I feel like those guys have the most to lose. Like, if they're just an indie studio and like they just had their whole fucking shit, like, you know, put out on the net. I mean, like, we'll, I guess a good example is Beast of Reincarnation also did get leaked before it came out. But ultimately it didn't look like it really affected things that much. It, you know, whatever the reception was, I don't know if it did well. I didn't know if it did bad, but you know, I think this is the same situation. I think go ahead.
I want to stress that, and I don't want to put words in Manny's mouth, but I think that we're both talking about this is the kind of leak that people are so anticipated that they just can't wait. And that's generally a pretty positive kind of leak. There are other kind of leaks that are definitely negative. Those ones do hurt sales, and they do hurt people's jobs ultimately. Those are not the kind of leaks we're talking about.
Yeah, that's not the type of leak that we're talking about here. Like, now the big thing is if their fucking source code gets out on the street. That's a big fucking deal. But as of now,
they could sell less copies. That could hurt their bonuses. Like, that sucks.
Yeah, that really sucks. But as of now, they haven't released any source code. And while we're seeing more better advertisement for the gameplay of this game that everybody bought on just based on the fact the game was called Grand Theft Auto. We're actually seeing some actual gameplay and footage of the title. So I feel like it's a lot better than what the Rockstar was literally doing, which literally just showed you some trailers, you know, in cinematics.
Yeah, he's doing a better job advertising, and he's self-funding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I if this was any other game, I would absolutely feel bad for the developers. You worked hard on this shit, then it gets leaked. I totally get it if this was a normal game. This is GTA 6. And from what we've seen right now, there have been some sly remarks here and there, but for the most part, the reception has generally been pretty positive, and the developers aren't being shitted on. So in this case specifically, it's not hurting the game. And like you guys said, it's probably helping the game because Rockstar hasn't fucking advertised it, you know? Yeah. But here's the thing. This is what I would be. If I were a developer, you know, if I was specifically working on GTA 6, you know, and I've been working hard on this shit and it gets leaked, I would be mad at the people leaking it. I'd be mad at whoever in Rockstar let that shit happen in the first place, you know, because leakers are going to fucking leak, you know, or the internet's going to internet. They're going to spread shit out. That's not in their control. I would be more mad at whoever in Rockstar that was supposed to make sure this didn't happen, let it happen. That's what I would be mad at, you know?
Being mad at being pitied are like, those are different things though. Like, you don't, like, that's all I'm saying is, like, don't pity these guys. Like, nothing consequentially bad has happened yet. They've gotten really good advertising. They're still going to sell, you know, baller amount of copies, and they're all going to get fucking, you know, anybody who has, you know, any kind of stock option or anything, probably going to do just fine, right?
Yeah.
What you should feel bad about is maybe some of the writers whose key story beats are getting dropped. Or start to feel bad if this, you know, releases code that could impact sales and whatnot. But like, yeah, right now he's just doing really good advertising and self-funding with his own meme coin, which honestly, Rockstar should be paying him for this so far.
Yeah, I get he's advertising the game better than they are, you know?
And then I agree with Tony on the other sense of where it's like, you know, this is not also not the first time that Rockstar has had a major leak.
Mm-hmm. That happens, you know, all the time.
Remember the early beta of this, the early stuff of this got leaked months, you know, maybe years ago, but years ago. And Rockstar has taken on this, all this additional stuff to, to try to stop all these leaks from happening. You know, stop a major leak like that from happening, where like you have to be inside of the office in order to work on it. You need to do all of this sort of additional like work. Like, that's part of the reason why they sort of stopped their their working from, you know, a lot of their working from home policies. You can't leave with any of the code for that game, that place to do that. But yet and all, somehow this motherfucker still got in and took it.
It's amazing.
So, If anything, whoever, I thought y'all were, it was supposed to be Fort Knox. Apparently there was a bunch of cracks in it, right?
But again, it happens at every one of their games, every one of them. So obviously they're fucking up. So I can't feel sorry for them either. You let this shit happen over and over and over and over again, it's your fucking fault. You know, it's crazy, man. All right. Unless anybody wants to say anything else about that, we can move on. Go ahead, bro.
You know, there's just tons of people that are working for the game, so you can, it's okay to feel for some of the people. You know, some people are just, you know, people counting numbers. There's artists that work in the game, retailers that work.
But is this affecting them negatively?
No. It doesn't matter. It's more like what they want. It's their, you know, for people that are actually doing art, you know, they actually care about, you know, how it's presented, and that's how it affects monetarily. This isn't going to affect anybody negatively. So I'm just saying it's relative. It's all relative. You know, I'm not praying that for these people by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, you got the you got your
Guadalupe, rosary beads.
You got your little rosary beads on a picture of the Grand Theft Auto.
So yeah, I'm not lighting. No.
So your thoughts and prayers are not with them.
No. It's just like, it's sort of more empathetic than it is, or sympathetic more than it is, you know, starting a GoFundMe or getting the rosary beads.
I get that. And maybe I'm just a bit cutthroat here. Like, my sympathy for the integrity of art goes out the window when I'm paying $100 for it. At that point, I can ingest whatever the fuck I want, however the fuck I want, in whatever order the fuck I want. And you better just step back and let me enjoy myself.
Yeah, but that's you. I'm just answering for me.
Well, for $100, I mean, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff, man. All right. Another one from JamX. This is a super interesting question. Why does it seem like gamers have more balls than movie guys? For the sake of game preservation, gamers are willing to release leaked builds, prototypes, demos, etc. Movie guys, on the other hand, if any of them find a rare cut of a film, they buy, sell it among themselves in private collections, but never release it to the public for the sake of movie preservation, supposedly out of fear of being sued. But why isn't this the case for gamers as well then? We've never been asked the type of question before.
Well, you know, when it comes, like, it's, I feel like a lot of the personal buyers, like, you know, these like alternate versions of other things. I feel like a lot of that is just within the community, you know? And also, you also got to realize that those guys are also, when games, it's the games and internet and sharing sort of, you know, go hand in hand. When it comes to film, it's the opposite. Somebody just puts it into a vault and says, "I have an original copy of Metropolis." You know, I think that's how Nosferatu survived. Some fucking guy just had it in his fucking vault somewhere. He's like, "Yeah, I got that shit." What happened with Nosferatu is they destroyed it because they got sued by the Bram Stoker estate.
Shit.
So I think one reason why it looks like that in the game industry is because it is like that in the game industry.
Yeah, the sharing culture.
I mean, no, like, I won't even know if it's sharing. Petulant, stubborn, hard-headed bitches. Every single one of us. And maybe it's something about, like, hey, here's a video game, or here's an industry that was born out of people trying to suck quarters out you, and you belligerently getting good enough to not give them as much money as possible. The idea of antagonism is kind of baked into gamers. So, you know, even gaming itself is not a passive form of entertainment. So I think that has led a lot of people to just be kind of resistant. And for one reason or another, I have never seen an industry of any kind anywhere as close to as reactive as gamers are. Not even a little bit.
Yeah, I guess the heart of it is it comes down to culture, right? It's two different cultures, you know, for these mediums.
Yeah.
What you guys said is correct on both ends. I don't really have anything to add to this. Go ahead, Carlos.
The part that I'm confused is I don't know how – would it be more difficult to get sort of – a different cut of a movie? I just feel like,
well, I mean, it's like you could also see it like, you know, like there are like you were thinking about the whole Doctor Who situation. There's a bunch of original episodes of Doctor Who that are totally missing, right? They're in within the collecting community. There is known that there's some people that actually have these specific episodes, but they don't put them out there. They just sit on. Same thing with some other, like some versions of films, where they'll just keep it to themselves. Maybe some people in the community know about it, but it's just like they're hoarding it.
I never knew about this.
Yeah, no, this is all news to me.
Yeah,
the interesting thing is, it's like I guess the music industry is more like the gaming industry, because I know in the music industry, you can get take one, take 20, take 30 of Stairway to Heaven.
That's right. Yeah, they got a million of them. People share that shit, you know?
There's a lot of demos. There's a lot of stuff that leaks, and people propagate that stuff to the internet. So, yeah, I actually didn't know about the movie stuff.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a very much a movie hoarding thing.
I got with this rare beast at a Kurt Cobain coffee at a party in 1986.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, like that episode of The Simpsons where that guy was hoarding like rare cuts of movies. Like, what was it? It's a Happy Life murder spree ending. That was not a real one, by the way. It's just in The Simpsons. Oh man, I bet half our audience doesn't even know what the It's a Wonderful Life is.
It's okay. I had a kid ask me today if The Simpsons was a show that was still on.
Oh man, yes, it is. Echo Crimson says fear of getting sued is good enough. One lawsuit in the studios when your life is over. Yeah, studios are pretty. I don't know. Is that true, Manny? If you have an old ass movie.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, you know, like a little somewhat inside baseball, ooh, right? So when my company For Kids Entertainment transferred, transfer all their assets for Ninja Turtles to Paramount, right? Officially, the company is not supposed to have any of that sort of stuff. All of it should be with Paramount, the current owners. Theoretically, yes, you can probably get sued if somebody finds out if you have it. But the thing is, you either tell them or you just, you know, who's going to say that you have something? You know, I have quite a bit of things. Is Paramount going to come after me? I've got it before they even had it. So I don't think it's a matter of getting sued. I think it's really a matter of, you know, because most of these people are just like, hey, you know, we just want to get a hold of this stuff. But obviously, I think also a lot of these people are also waiting for the right number. Because I don't think it has anything to do with the sharing part. Mm. I think it has to do with like for a lot of these guys, you're like, well, I got this rare blah, blah, blah. Here, give me $1 million. And the movie company's like, nah, we're good. I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think they're going to come after anybody for having an alternate version of some movie, or like, hey, look, we have the alternate version of the Three Little Pigs where the fucking big bad wolf dresses up like a Jew. No, they're just going to be like, no. So I don't think it's going to be a thing. I think it's just they're waiting for a lot of these guys are waiting for the right numbers. And then, yes, a lot of them are hoarding.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. Mr. Fergus Mills, Carlos.
I mean, shout out to Fergus Mills.
Mr. Right. Mills.
First question for Mr. Mills. Maybe I'm missing something, but I can't think of a single positive reason why PlayStation's all-digital future benefits consumers. Can you identify any benefits? I've been thinking about this question for like the past hour and a half. I can't come up with any reason.
There is absolutely no benefits for all digital besides you getting it right away. Other than that, every single other part of it, it's they own it. There's no protection. There's all this other sort of stuff that's all in the way. No, there is no real benefits, but the real benefit has nothing to do with us and everything to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's convenient for them.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah, they can't even think of a fake benefit, which is why their entire angle has been there's not that much of a negative. Like, they can't even think of like a fake angle, like, oh, it makes it more convenient. No, it makes it cheaper. No, it makes it more accessible. No, nobody needs it anyway. And like, I feel if your angle is nobody needs it anyway, then you really have done a poor job of selling me the idea.
Oh, the buying habits though.
Yeah, there's the buying habits. Like, they give you all like at least with the Steam version of stuff, they at least try to give you some things. Like, your protections are a lot better. You always have access to it. You have all these different things that say, okay, you know what? I get it. I don't own these things, but you also have, you know, you have obviously things like GOG where you actually do own these things. But it's like, okay, I don't own these things. But what are the positives that at least come with it? Is there any sort of protection from or any of that sort of? Can I get my money back? You know, if I don't like the game after playing it for what was it 20 hours?
Or no, it's like that? Four, I believe. It's not
after
that much.
4 hours, I mean, like, come on, man, like something. You look at that thing that
PlayStation will give you shit.
You look at that fucking email that they've been slowly rolling out, that's telling them about the thing, but they're not telling you anything's in there that would say, hey, you know what? I want to do this. You know, I'm cool with this. But no, it's just like, hey, you, this is it. You get this. You know, they just throw it at you. You get this, whatever.
Yeah.
We make money.
No, but you're right. Yeah. The only benefit is you get it fast. That's it. Yeah. There are way more negatives to digital, way more. But like you said, it's even worse because of no protections. So yeah, it benefits the company. That's what really benefits at the end of the day.
That's all it really is. It's really just them saying that they have the majority control of that part of the gaming market, and they just pulled a like, whatever, we're the top dog, doesn't matter what you think, sort of move. Essentially what Nintendo attempted to do years ago, right?
Yeah.
But they don't, the thing that stopped Nintendo from doing this the years ago is they actually were dependent on actual stores.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Any other thoughts? Like, if you could think of a reason, any other reasons, let us know. But yeah, go ahead, bro.
So I'm going to say a reason, but don't get mad at me.
They don't take up space, physical space. I guess that's another reason.
And quote unquote portability when it comes to like, you can play a game in Chicago and then a game in your library in Chicago and then your library in Tokyo. Yeah. Not to bring your library like that. That's the type only thing I can think of.
That's true.
It's not enough to justify.
You don't need to bring your physical discs with you.
Yeah.
I have been looking for an excuse to, an escape to break away from those back-breaking discs.
Yeah, these back-breaking discs. I mean,
infomercial. Are you tired of lugging around discs?
Yeah, like those infomercials. Do you not like discs?
You have somebody picking up a disc to break their back.
Or them really badly attempting to stick the disc inside of the machine.
Yeah,
like they're sticking inside.
Do you have to get up and just the disc? They heard they trip over and shit. Yeah. They trip over their dog on their way.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to switch your disc?
Those cinema commercials are great. And like, have you ever found it difficult to crack open an egg? And they slam the fucking egg on the counter. Like, that's not how you crack an egg.
Or someone accidentally using a disc as a coaster.
Yeah, right.
You know, like really dumb things.
Oh man, that is funny. But yeah, it mostly benefits them. Let's just be real.
And I wish it was like, again, it's like I wish there was the other stuff that came with. I don't think the transition between digital would be so awful if there wasn't more that PlayStation would do behind the scenes. And even in like, if you've ever dealt with any of the fucking with a PlayStation's fucking, you know, any of their stuff, right? Like Brett has when it came to a game that he was
customer service.
The customer service, it's awful. Like it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Worst game ever.
Yeah, like, you know, have you ever talked to the digital, was it the digital, was it, you can chat with supposedly a customer service representative and the person on the other side can barely fucking spell? Like, I fucking spell like shit, but they are awful. I'm like, what the fuck did you just write, buddy? And you have a fucking job?
Well, thankfully, Manny, we have a solution for that. AI. Yeah. That's who you're going to be talking to now.
Well, that's part of it. So like what it does is it like you first you to an AI agent and then it transfers supposed person.
Yeah.
And then the person just can, it's like they're typing with their fists.
Oh man.
And talking on the line is like you wait forever. All this stuff that makes it makes you it's not there to help you. It makes you want essentially be frustrated so that you just give up.
Yep.
I propose that we should be able to demand to know how much those people make and then vie for their job. Like, I feel like that'd make the economy like you suck at it. How much do you make? 60 grand a year? All right, give me an application. I'm going for your job.
That's funny. All right. 60 grand, I guess sounds fair, right?
They probably make less than that.
They have to make less than that. Yeah, because I'm like 60 grand, it's not that much, you know? It's probably more than that. Less than that they make. Anyway, another one from Mr. Fergus Mills. Why do some gamers... Oh, this is another interesting... We got like interesting questions tonight. Why do some gamers mock or oppose people protesting Sony's all-digital future when the availability of physical media doesn't affect their digital preference? There's a couple of reasons. There's a couple of ones here. The most immediate one is Sony ponies. They got to stick up for their brand. You know, they got to be loyal, you know? This is my place. Don't you dare talk about my PlayStation.
It can do no wrong.
Yeah, so whatever the company does, they have to vouch for it because they've been carrying water for them for fucking years, you know? So that's probably the main reason. The other reason, this one is, again, I'm conflicted because I was with this movement, but I'm not anymore because they're fucking assholes. The least ones I deal with, you know, when you go after indie developers because they don't have physical discs, maybe you should reassess things, guys, you know. So somebody says can't come off as pompous dickheads. I get that. But no, the main reason is Sony ponies carrying water for the company. That's what's happening, you know, because under no circumstances should you want this to happen. Yo, I haven't bought a physical disc or played one really because I bought maybe one or two for over a decade. I don't want that shit to happen. I want fucking physical games. You know, there's no reason why any logical gamer should not want this shit. The only reason you're vouching for this is because you're a fucking pony.
Well, no, I think it's actually worse than that. And I think the best way I can demonstrate is like, let me turn the question on its head. Are you asking me why a thing that most people are considering morally wrong on principle, why you should care about it if it doesn't directly affect you? And if you are asking that, I really suggest you listen to that question again and try and find the problem in there.
Yeah, I guess he'll have to answer that. I don't think that's the question, though. I think you turned it completely around.
No, I think the question is like, if it doesn't affect me, why should I care?
No, the question is why are those people mocking the side that does care? That's the question.
Wait, why are the people who don't care mocking the people who do care?
Well, the care was never in there in the first place. The question, I'll read it again. Why do some gamers mock or oppose people protesting Sony's all-digital future when the availability of physical games doesn't affect them?
Oh, yeah, no, I totally had that backwards. My bad. because they're self-righteous douchebags, it's kind of the equivalent of being like, oh, you know, only the poor's care about that. It's
I've heard that come up quite a douchebags. Bit.
Yeah, I have heard that. I like the pompousness of it too. Also, there's also the other aspect. Oh, these people are really mad about this. I'm going to be on the other side just for fun. There's that too.
I mean, I'm normally an iconoclast. I'll argue the other side just for funsies sometimes, and even now I'm like, that's fucking several bridges too far. Jesus fucking Christ!
Go ahead, Carlos.
At this point, it's like, let me argue with why you should punch babies. Like, look at yourself, man.
Yeah. Again, I'm an all Brett. Both of me and you are all digital guys, and we don't want this shit to happen. Think about that.
No, it fucks over a bunch of other people.
Yes.
Like, I have no beef against these people. Why would I? Why even like even if it doesn't matter to me, like why would I be so callous to it? Like clearly, a lot of people care about it. Clearly, it's only helping a few people with a lot of money and their shareholders. I'm here as a matter of principle. Like,
Again, we're not affected by this stuff, but we don't want this for our fellow gamers. It's bullshit, you know. Go ahead, Carlos. What were you gonna say, bro?
Yeah, I feel like every time there's a protest of any sorts, people feel compelled to choose a side, even if it doesn't affect them at all. So I feel like that's the case with this, and the other side that's chosen is pretty much what you said, Tony. It's the Sony ponies that feel like they have to their conglomerate. So that's the whole thing. It's because you know these people protesting to them feels like it's anti-Sony.
Yep.
So they'll compartmentalize any type of argument in order to shut down whatever that.
Which is, the Sentai needs them.
Which is weird. It's like, why are you fighting for a multi-million dollar company?
That meme. Don't you dare hurt the multi-million dollar corporation.
Yeah, don't you dare hurt the multi-million dollar corporation. You're literally
multi-billion.
Or a multi-billion, you're right, yeah.
Multi-billion dollar company, right? Like, literally a company is legitimately being anti-consumer to your fellow gamers, and you, what you think is best to do is just to be like, oh, you're fucking stupid, you're poor, you're this, you're that. You know, you should be fighting just as hard as any of those other people. Because everybody wants to play, and you should still continue to give people options to play. There are places on this planet where people like when there a bunch of the numbers came out right for recently as the physical and you'll see some countries like Australia has an insane like it's over like 50% for their physical side.
Oh wow.
For the physical games, even a few other countries. In fact, it's America that's the other way around, where it's more digital than physical.
Interesting. But so yeah, you're gonna fuck over those guys, you know? That's again, what you're doing.
Like, but again, it's like they see it's it, to them it seems like it's a point. It's a negligible risk.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, you know, we are already getting all these billions of dollars from these. Our guys have already accepted it. So we don't even need to worry about it. We have a premium product.
Shit. That's crazy.
I had some guy ragging on me because because he's using the stupid poor bullshit on out there. Like, oh, this guy probably doesn't have enough to buy a fucking PlayStation. Some retort to something I said. I'm like, really, motherfucker? Like, you know, now we're cheering the company that decided to fucking push the price up for a fucking a 5-year-old, 6-year-old console.
You ponies,
serious to me?
Yeah, ponies.
How much do you think worth that? Like, do you think I'd be able to be like, you're probably too poor to buy me a PlayStation 6?
That's correct. No, people, when they use that argument, it's always interesting to me. I got a little bit of that because I made some comment about how, oh, yeah, that's what it was. Bringing it back, right? When it was announced that GTA 6 was coming to Netflix, the whatever, I was like, I'm not going to subscribe to Netflix for that. I literally had, oh, you're too fucking poor, can't afford Netflix. Like, bro, you never considered that I don't have Netflix because I think Netflix sucks. Never considered that. It's insane. Yeah.
It's a piece of shit system.
It's a piece of shit subscription service, you know? So,
it's a subscription service that essentially depends on you forgetting that it's there to fucking make its money.
They got so much money out of me for 2 fucking years for that. I never even used the shit, but it was taking money because I forgot, you know?
I gotta say, that's not the flex that you think it is. Like, if your idea of flush with excess cash is being able to afford Netflix, then you're kind of telling them yourself.
Right? Shit. It's crazy, but no, people will use that. Like, oh, you're too poor. You know, I mean, let's just be honest. That's what the PlayStation
there's
guys.
Poor and there's financially responsible, and fucking Netflix is not the latter.
Yeah,
let's be fucking honest here.
I mean, you know what? Have PlayStation guys called the Xbox? You know, out until the price hikes happen, they call it the poverty box. You know,
look, I get it, but if you're like. If you are genuinely being like, hey, 20 to 25, 30 bucks a month is something that I'm just not worrying about, then it's not you having extra money. That's you just not doing well with your money. I'm not talking shit if you use or watch Netflix, but if you don't watch Netflix and are paying $30 a month for something you don't use, you're just not being great with your money.
Yeah, exactly. And they get a lot of people that way because a lot of people don't look at their finances and shit. I didn't for a long time. That's how they suckered me. What happened, Brett?
Yeah, but no, we should be bragging about that shit. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Don't brag about it. That's shameful. I don't brag about it. I'm shameful as a motherfucker. I'm the dumbass who left it on for 2 years without using it. I'm the stupid one, you know? But they get a lot of people that way, you know?
Yeah. And make it difficult to close down your account. You know, they hide it somewhere.
But here's the thing. They're not like, oh, you don't have Netflix. There's other good things to watch on Netflix. They're not on there being like, oh, you ain't watching Blue Eyed Samurai. They're like, oh, you don't have Netflix just for GTA. Like, you're not just sleeping. Yeah. On your Netflix account that you could just clock into and watch GTA, right? Like, it's not even like saying, hey, you should watch Netflix. There's good things on Netflix. There's plenty of other things to have Netflix. It'd be like, you just don't have Netflix. Bitch, what kind of irresponsible spending just fucking has Netflix?
Yeah. Oh, you're poor. You don't have it, huh? Can't even afford it. I said, no, my favorite line was, too poor. Yeah, this is what it was. Too poor to afford Netflix, yet has a Twitter subscription. I'm like, you're fucking stupid. You realize if I could afford a Twitter subscription, I could subscribe to fucking Netflix if I wanted to. You know, people are crazy. You know, like I don't. There's a term for it. I don't like money like pointing. There's a term for it. But you know what I'm saying?
Pocket watching.
I don't go on to other people's fucking accounts. Tell them how to use their fucking money. I don't care. It's not my fucking business. So don't come into my shit. Tell me to use my fucking money. You fucking asshole.
There's also the fact that it's like people want to get into your business about how you're fucking spending your own money.
Yeah.
What, like that shit that happened with the Wolverine. And I didn't even say I wasn't going to buy a fucking Wolverine. I just said, I'll play it later.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're this, you're poor, you're this, you're that. I'm like, motherfucker, have you ever just heard of what's fucking waiting? I don't know.
Can't wait now. And if you can't buy it, you're fucking poor.
If you don't play it day one, you're fucking, really?
Some people are just like, their hierarchy is that important to them. They have to get the new drop on the weekend that it comes out so that they can be as good as somebody on Twitter. That just sounds like a horrifyingly bleak existence, but that's where they at.
That's insane. That's American dream shit. Fucking absolutely insane. Anyway, let's move on here, man. George W. Cush in the house.
What up?
He goes, hope you guys are doing well. We're doing all right. Damn. So he goes, my first two questions are about two games I don't think most of you have played, so feel free to skip them. Oh, we're not going to skip them. We're going to end.
We'll do our best.
Because this next question is also very interesting. We got a lot of interesting questions.
Yeah, well, we get these interesting questions. What's up with that?
Here's the thing, because a lot of times the questions we get are, We've gotten variations of them, right? Like, oh, was this going to affect this? Are you going to buy that? What is this doing? These are just like, oh, we never thought about this. This is cool. All right, so here we go. I just finished Hollow Knight Silksong. It was one of the best Metroidvanias, if not the best I have ever played. I checked the sales and was shocked by how successful it was. My question is, why is Nintendo having such a hard time selling the Metroid saga, the original Metroidvania, that is way easier than Hollow Knight, an indie Metroidvania closer to Dark Souls? That's always been an interesting question. Metroid is one of those franchises that's always been around, but it's never reached the heights of like a Mario, Zelda, you know, all the popular Nintendo franchises. And you're right, there are other Metroidvania games, quote unquote, that are more successful. I would even argue, I think Castlevania is more fucking successful, even though it had to adopt Metroid shit after the fact. You know, I don't know if I have an answer for this, Chris. Maybe you want to jump on this. Like, what is it about Metroid that has never put it over the top like other Nintendo franchises?
Well, I guess it's just the subject matter, because the influence for Metroid is Alien, right?
Yeah.
That's what Gunpei Yokoi used as building Samus. Even names dropped in the game. You could tell, like, Samus is Ellen Ripley. And it's that stuff. It has its roots in dark kind of sci-fi and horror. So even though in the 80s we love that stuff, like Castlevania, I mean, a guy jumps into Castle Dracula to kill Dracula, right? Yeah. It's going to get darker than that. But I think it's also, you know, there's theming and challenge and stuff. I guess maybe the expectation with a space game is that there's more than that. Like, think about, like, even Star Fox is more popular than Metroid. But Star Fox is Top Gun in space, whereas, like, Metroid is just you running around, like, shooting monsters, trying to power up. You get depowered every single game, even though whatever Samus did the last game, she has, like, an enhanced armor or whatever. It just gets knocked back, and you have to grind all over again to get everything and go back. And maybe it's that, because with Castlevania, you never... Simon Belmont or whatever Belmont doesn't need to level up. Like, you just get power-ups, you power up your whip, you get your special weapon, and you're good, right? Just collect hearts so you could use everything. And so it's very simple, right? And that might be, like, Metroid is a lot of collecting. It's like, oh, you need bombs to open this thing. I got to backtrack, get this thing to get open this gate, you know, or I need the power dash, or I need spin jump, you know, you need all this stuff. So I think it was some of the complexity of playing the game and progressing. Like other Metroidvania games, you like naturally progress. Everything is kind of like in your way. Like, oh, I got to kill this guy and I kill this boss and he gives me whatever I need to progress to the next stage. Metroid wasn't like that. You kill the boss, sure. But it's like by the skin of your teeth, and then you find out, well, I can't get past this door unless I backtrack all the way to this other place I saw, get the power up over there, and then come all the way back here to open up the way over. So I think there was a lot of that, and it kind of kept that theming going. So unless you like that backtracking and stuff like that, I think that's where Metroid kind of fails some gamers in that. It is that kind of grinding and backtracking is the problem. Because think about like Hollow Knight and all that stuff. Like you just progress naturally. There's some kind of, I don't know if Hollow Knight has a store, but some of the other Metroidvania games I play, there's always a convenience store. There's like a shopkeeper you could find and you just buy what you need and all that stuff. Metroid doesn't have any of that. So maybe that's why.
Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
Do you think the series was a victim of Prime's success?
No, I don't think so. I think they have done a good job separating 2D and 3D Metroid. They kind of exist in their own worlds. Prime, it's very successful, yeah, right? You know, people enjoy it, but that kind of hit different with like a first-person shooter perspective. Like you could play it in that. And there's a lot of people like it. Although this fourth game, they dropped the ball, and I could see why. But Dread was great. Like Dread's a great game.
Yeah.
And I love that kind of stuff. Like, but maybe because I'm old, maybe I'm used to that kind of stuff, like that kind of grinding, and I got used to that. Because I play other Metroidvania games, and there's not that issue of progression and backtracking. You barely have to backtrack, unless you want 100% the map or something. No other game makes you kind of go back and like bar you from progressing unless you go back and get this obscure thing that you didn't find before, but now you can find it because you killed this guy, you know. So I think that's an issue that Metroid has that maybe doesn't entice a lot of people. Also, I think Nintendo honestly does a poor job of marketing it nowadays compared to their other games. They don't entice people like to play. Like they'll throw although I don't know, right? Honestly, I don't know what's going on with Zelda. Like, you'd think they'd be advertising that game. I think Rich mentioned, too, that it's coming out 2026, and I haven't seen a goddamn thing for it. So I don't know what the hell's going on lately. I can't speak to that. But I think compared to their other games in the past where they've thrown big marketing against it, Zelda included, Mario, Donkey Kong, whatever it is, it's Metroid. It's kind of very small and light, but not when we had Super Nintendo or whatever. The ads were amazing when we were kids.
Yeah,
like seeing that stuff, like seeing actors wearing the suit, walking through dark hallways, kind of looking like aliens and shooting monsters. That pulled you right in immediately. It's like, yeah, I want to play that. Of course, I want to play that. I feel like they've done a poor job marketing and against modern games because everybody's kind of taken that formula and kind of modernized it. You know, there's more, you know, like Hollow Knight, like there's cuter characters or there's more, you know, more colorful scenes and whatnot. You know, it's not like dreary space horror and caves and caverns and, you know, gross creatures everywhere that you're shooting. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah. I mean, Hollow Knight, I played like 2 hours of the new one. It seemed pretty dark, but at the same time, you're right. It does have a more cartoony aesthetic, so maybe that's part of the reason. But I think what you said tracks. Here's what Jeff says. Shout out to Jeffrey Wilson. You know, Metroid is too solemn, not as cheery as the Mushroom Kingdom. Yeah, I mean Chris touched on that as well. But yeah, that could be it. But yeah, it is interesting because there are other games that have borrowed the Metroid formula that are more successful than Metroid. But like you said, they're more cheerful or, you know, visually appealing. Even I think Metroid itself is very visually appealing too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, going back to like why Castlevania is better. When you kill Dracula, the castle falls apart, like you win, right?
Yeah.
It's like, damn, kill that son of a bitch and the castle broke. you know, that you feel good when you beat Castlevania, you know. In Metroid, it's like, I don't know, because it leads into the next game, and it's like, her story doesn't get any better. Samus's story kind of sucks, right? She's fighting for money, so it's not really like some kind of altruistic thing where she's like, oh, I'm going to go hunt Mother Brain. No, she's getting paid, right? And then she hunts Mother Brain down, but then the Metroids try to kill her, or she gets some disease, or, you know, it's not good. It's like the Evil Dead series with Ash. It's like, yeah, every movie leads him into the next thing where he doesn't have a happy ending till all the way in the third movie.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny, man. All right, another one from Mr. George W. Cush. I'm trying to finish Tears of the Kingdom, a game that could be a 9 out of 10 for me, but is ending up more like a 6 out of 10 because I played Breath of the Wild, and too much of that game is in this one, which ruins the exploration. Did you ever have a game where playing the predecessor ruined or diminished the sequel's experience instead of improving it? I mean, Last of Us Part 1 is better than 2, you know? But I don't know if that's the correct answer. I think I'm understanding the question right.
Yeah, I think he's saying it's more of the same.
Yeah.
The maps overlap, so it's like you're exploring the same areas. Although they have that I heard that underworld thing, part of it. Like, so you have two levels of the map. You have that sky area, and you have the underworld, and you have the main Hyrule, which is the exact same as the last game. So maybe it means that, like, the other two areas are pretty shallow. Like, there's not much there. And then there's just the surface, which you've already explored. And then there's the time jump stuff. So I could see what he's saying. It's like, I already walked over here. I already explored this shit. You know, what am I doing here? So I get that. I think that there's a lot of that. I think a lot of people played that game and loved it for that crafting, for the crazy stuff you could do with the the power of making people make crazy shit. I swear there was people just like making trains or making rockets or doing crazy. I swear they were using it like Minecraft instead of playing Zelda. So maybe that's the appeal of it instead of, you know, like you doing like the last game where you're like exploring and like, oh, you find all this lore. Who are these people? Who are the Zonai? Whatever. And now you get to this game and you're like, well, this is a Zonai? Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I don't know. For this question specifically, maybe Resident Evil 3, because it reused a lot of 2. So when you're replaying, like, you know.
Well, I mean, that had a gimmick too. The original one. Remember the choices?
Yeah, like that's right.
You could choose choose your own adventure. I did like that.
Yeah, that was cool. The second one, yeah. But the third one did not have that.
The third one with Jill? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it didn't have that. So maybe that's my answer. I'm not sure. But what about the rest of you guys?
Dragon Age 3.
Oh, Inquisition?
Yeah, not after the first two. Like, it, I guess it wasn't too bad on its own, but it was so much more shallow than its previous iterations, even though those were fucking rushed.
Yeah, well, actually, my answer would be Dragon Age 2. That was really fucking rushed, you know, compared to the first one.
It was still a good game. It still felt better to me than Inquisition did.
Yeah. Inquisition had the opposite for me. I'm like, oh, there's too much gameplay, because the second one was like too little of it, you know. But yeah, Dragon Age Origins is still the best one. By the way, Brett, is your dog snoring?
Yes.
Just making sure.
I wasn't a cat.
I was like, just making sure I wasn't going crazy. I've been hearing that shit all night.
Now that you pointed out, I hear it. I've gone deaf to it.
That's funny. Yeah. It's like a parent with their kids screaming. It's like, don't you hear that shit? No, they don't. They're used to it. At a fucking restaurant or movie theater. It's like, we can hear your kid. Shut him up.
It's not like 15 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. But your dog is cool. I don't mind it. I was just making sure I wasn't going crazy. We like your dog better than a screaming kid. You know, let him snore.
I agree.
It's a pleasant sound, you know. You know what? I'll go down the line here. Everybody participates. Manny, what's your answer?
Or the Metroid thing?
No, for which game's like sequel? Like, oh, like if you played a sequel to a game, were you like, the one before it was better, and that ruined that sequel for you?
Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh, that's a good one.
Just think of that. Good.
That's
good
a
choice.
Good answer. Yeah.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed 3 kind of ruined them. That is the last, officially the last Assassin's Creed game that I actually
played. Oh, shoot.
I mean, I did dabble a little bit into the, you know, the pirate one, but I mean, you let me borrow it, but I just sort of didn't. I've just lost all interest after
makes three, sense.
So I gave you that one back. But yeah, it was Assassin's Creed 3. Like, fucking homeboy, whatever his name is, Connor McCloud or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah, Connor. Oh, yeah.
Connor McCloud for the
Clown. Yeah, because you're right. Because the previous game, you enjoyed it, so obviously.
No, I mean, yeah. I played every single iteration of that of the what we call the Ezio saga. Right?
Yes.
You know, ever from 2 to Brotherhood, and then it was like 3 of them, right?
Yeah, there was a Revelation. That was the last one.
And Assassin's Creed Revelations. Those were awesome.
Yeah.
And then you play fucking this guy, and then fucking Desmond gets killed at the end of that shit. It's like, what the fuck, man?
All right. You can't go from Ezio to Connor. You have to say Connor the way you say Matt Damon.
Connor. Yeah, I just really didn't care for that. It just ruined me. I couldn't even look back at any of it again.
That's funny.
I think I've had an irrational hatred for how much Connor sucks for like 10 years over the last decade of the podcast. You can hear me randomly bring up how much Connor sucks.
Yeah, I don't think it's irrational.
So for me, I feel like the two worst of the Assassin's Creed ones are Connor first, and you know, this may sound like blasphemy, but homeboy from the first game.
Excuse me?
Yeah, what is his Altair. Name? Altair. He's an utter plank, man. I think the thing that helped that game is the intrigue of that game.
Yeah.
Him as a character, he is just a board. He's like a talking wooden board.
It's true.
But anyway, yeah, so the Connor game, Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah. All right, Carlos, what about you?
So I think I understood the question differently, maybe.
I don't even know if I understand the question, so it's all right.
What sequel ruined it? Dead Space 3.
Yeah. Well, the way I understood it is, it's like what sequel game felt or was diminished in any sense because it was a lot like the predecessor.
That could be one, yeah.
Because, for example, he mentioned Tears of the Kingdom, and he mentioned how Hyrule is pretty much the same, and you know, you don't get the sort of the newness of the exploration in that sense, at least in that part of the map.
Yeah,
I feel like that's where he's coming from. So my answer, I have two. Number one, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I hate the games. It's just it diminishes a little bit. You know, it's still good. They're still good games. Number one is Miles Morales.
Oh, excuse me.
Because if it, you know, the first game, you know, Miles Morales was essentially just DLC.
Yeah,
I'll still say that till the day I die, because you know, remember it was a controversy. It's like, it's not DLC. Yeah.
Tweeting that is what made the PlayStation community hate me. That was the first volley.
No.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah. And it was a, you know, the first game was just, you know, epic the way it was introduced. So the second one, I feel like had a hard time topping that. And then this another one that I would like to mention, even though the sequel is a good game, is Gravity Rush 2. I felt like Gravity Rush 1, and I didn't play the original Gravity Rush, I played the remaster on the Vita. I felt like that was a lot more grimy, the world. The vibe of the world, it was like grimy and kind of eerie and stuff. And when I played Gravity Rush 2, I felt like it was too clean and too colorful, and it kind of threw off the vibe for me. Whereas like I was like, it doesn't feel like the same experience. It's nicer fidelity wise, and you know, you still do the Gravity Rush traversal, which is pretty awesome, but I felt like the world wasn't the same. If I played Gravity Rush 2 before Gravity Rush 1, I probably would have enjoyed it more.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't agree, but that's a good answer. I have a funny answer. I already answered, but I'm gonna answer again because I don't care. I have a funny one. This is more the first half of the game ruined the last half of the game. Carlos, you'll like this answer. Devil May Cry 4.
Oh yeah. Let's go through the greatest hits of the first half of the game. It's
amazing. Like, why am I doing this again in reverse? So stupid.
But Tony.
Yeah.
It wasn't with Neo.
You got to play Dante now.
You got to play with Dante.
Oh man. Chris, I don't think you went yet, so go ahead.
Sequel. Shoot.
I don't really have a good answer for this one.
It's a tough question.
Yeah. I think Manny's answer was the best one. I honestly can't think of a game where... And you said Last of Us, which I agree with. But that, I don't know. Last of Us 2 is just trash. I don't know. Yeah, it's
my real answer is actually Resident Evil 3. Playing 2 kind of ruined that for me because it was rehashing stuff, you know? I think that's the heart of the question. It's like the sequel's rehashing too much of the previous one, so it diminished it for you. I think that's the heart of the question.
Yeah. And I can't think of anything I played. I'll probably think of it after the show. Huh? What?
Dead Space 3.
I don't know if it reads.
I like Dead Space 3 though.
Oh, the co-op one with the homeboy,
Well, you know really? What? The microtransaction stuff was overblown because you didn't need it. You absolutely didn't need it. And yeah, the backtrack in the DLC was stupid, but the ending of the DLC set up something that EA never capitalized on. It had an amazing ending, and it was like a cliffhanger that I never seen before in a freaking horror game, and I'm very sad that we won't get more Dead Space. So I'll say that. But I did enjoy two was fantastic. Dead Space 2 is fantastic. I didn't think 3 was more of the same. I think it tried to answer some questions that maybe people weren't really asking. I don't think people wanted to really delve into the unitology stuff too much, and it kind of threw a lot of that in there to try to explain what was going on. But I did enjoy the game, and I did think that the DLC had a payoff, even though you were going in reverse of where Isaac went, which was weird. The ending of that was fantastic, and I'm like, I won't get a 4. I can't, even with the remake, I won't get any more. So it sucks.
Right, Rich, what do you say, man?
Well, first and foremost, I think that Manny provided the best answer when he mentioned Assassin's Creed 3. I, however, have two other answers I will add to this list. And I will give a shout out to Carlos because he said, oh yes, these games are still good. You know, I'm not saying that they're garbage. No, I'm telling you these games are garbage. Number one, it has to be Halo 5 Guardians.
Oh shoot.
Because this is a game that was advertised a certain type of way. And then the actual game itself was completely different. They had this whole thing of, I believe it was Spartan Locke, that's the other character, supposedly having this face-off with Master Chief. And yeah, they have a little small confrontation in the game, but overall, the game was really about a whole bunch of other stuff going on, and they had this whole storyline going on with that Cortana was going to become the enemy. And then they just completely dropped the ball with that and didn't go back to answer any of that other stuff. You know, this is 343, aka Halo Studios, Carlos' favorite Halo studio creator that completely demolished this. The multiplayer of the game was great, but the single-player campaign, complete garbage. So, I can't give them a pass. And this one, although this is not considered a sequel, I do believe that it is the end. I believe that it could be pretty much the end of this franchise. Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, shit. Okay.
That game, obviously, it's not a sequel, but that game, so disappointed. I haven't spoken to one person that enjoyed that game in our circle and outside our circle, and they have no faith that BioWare will ever make another good Mass Effect game. So, yes, that's unfortunate, but that game was garbage, I have to say. Very disappointing.
Jeffrey says, Knights of the Old Republic 2 had too much of the same DNA as the first game. I've heard a lot of people complain about that.
Uh-oh.
That's a good one. You know, it's funny, right? Fucking all the, at least the original Mega Man games were all the fucking same, but you liked them. They're all the same game, you know? But it was like, it's good.
The Sonic games?
I feel like Sonic games were always a little different
from each other, you know?
I feel like the 4 and 5.
Yeah, because 6 kind of brought it a little bit more on course, because it's like, it's more of the same, you know. I think that's really the harder question, like more of the same game, you know. We should get a lot of those back in the day. He did ask 3 questions, but we will go for the third one as well. This one's fun. Did George R. R. Martin's involvement in Elden Ring make it a better product? I don't think he had anything to do with that shit. He probably provided one fucking line and that was it, you know?
So at least from what like he said, he just like, it's almost like he just named things. You know what I mean? Like he said, like, I think they had like some parts of it, but I don't think the whole story is really his baby, you know?
I just imagine him coming in like a priest is going, eh, and then walking away, you know, just doing a little hand sign and moving. I don't think he did shit, you know? This is obviously a subject we discussed at length when Elden Ring originally came out. The game is not successful because his fucking name was attached to it. No one cares, you know, because the heart of it is pure Miyazaki shit that you see in his other game, you know? So, yeah, it didn't make it a better product. The product was already awesome. You could have whatever bullshit involvement he had with it taken away, and it'd still be a fantastic game because he didn't have anything to do with that stuff, you know?
Yeah, you know, maybe you should have a monster with four arms.
you know what you should do? You should have everybody have similar sounding names. Mikola, Melania.
that's right. Yeah, go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, for those that are wondering if George is going to release Winds of Winter, get ready for that. Get ready for that Elden Ring press tour when the movie comes out.
Yeah, right.
He's going to be busy.
Is he even involved in that thing? I don't think he is.
I don't know. I mean, he has to be because technically, you know, Elden Ring story does have his involvement, whichever capacity it is. Let me see. I'm going to look
up. Look that up. Brett, you have any thoughts here? Uh-oh. Our resident Elden Ring fan has no thoughts.
He is listed as a producer, so.
Oh, okay, of the show. Interesting. I'm a producer.
Yeah, and it's a movie.
Producer roles are fucking, they just give those shits away, man. They don't do anything. Like that I remember they're talking about like Hollywood and how there's like a bunch of superfluous producer roles that they just add on to things. They don't really mean any sort of, like, you don't have any sort of direct like attachment to it. It's just like, okay, we just put you on as a producer role.
Yeah.
To the point where they literally had to make a role in production that actually says what they fucking do. Like the ones that actually have something to do with the production and the names that are, they just threw on there just like to give somebody a little bit of money or give some extra credit.
Yeah. All right. Move on. Mob Hits. And some more questions. I kind of separated the questions, put the GTA one up top. And Jeff, I want to hear your answer for this first one. Did Marvel Tokon scratch the itch for those who wanted a new Marvel vs. Capcom game? And the second part of the question, will it attain the same heights as in the FGC? I don't think it scratched the same itch because it's a completely different game. This is a Guilty Gear game or Arc 6 game at the end of the day, which is good. I'm not complaining about that, but this is not a traditional tag fighter. Not really.
Yeah, it doesn't really act like a normal, like a regular tag fighter. Is it just the way the mechanics work in the game? Like all your characters share the same power gauge.
Exactly.
So it's like, do you really need to swap out to fucking any of the other characters? You kind of don't.
Yeah. Unless you want to extend your combos. That's about it.
Since you want to extend your combos. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Tony.
Yeah, to me, it scratched the itch of, I got another cool Arxis game. That's what I got. I didn't get Marvel vs. Capcom. That's a different thing.
They did have one of the key guys from Marvel vs. Capcom actually did work on
the
game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And will the game attain the same heights in FGC? No, because here's the thing. This game would need to be a franchise. One game is not going to make it blow the fuck up like that. It's very rarely happened. Every game that's really quote unquote big in the FGC right now has been around for decades, you know? So this specific Tokon franchise, if it lasts that long, will have to be around for a very long time, at least 15 years. You know, Guilty Gear was been around forever and it just got popular, like really popular, like in 2020 during the pandemic, you know?
Yeah, with the last two games, Exard and then Strive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Exard, you're right. That's the one that really kind of kicked things off. And Exard, ironically enough, benefited because people were pissed off for Street Fighter V being ass, you know? Mm-hmm. Jeffrey says it's good, but not Marvel. would it be interesting to see if Capcom got the DC license and see how the FGC would react. I mean, those motherfuckers been asking for Injustice for a long time. I don't think that franchise is coming back. They don't even make Injustice comics anymore, you know?
Yeah. The game's done, so they don't need to make any more comics.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely not a Marvel vs. Capcom game. It is completely its own thing. All right, and the last question of the night. Hopefully we can answer this one. We'll see. Because this is really a question for Adam, but he's not here. So has anybody here played the Modern Warfare beta? What did you think of it? Rich, I'm kind of looking towards you. I don't know if you've played it or not.
Well, Tony, this is a phenomenal question. I did not get a chance to play it. I know that myself, Adam, and Carlos, we were going to play it, but I have a very good excuse as to why I haven't played it, because I've been playing two other games I can't talk about yet. So... But I would be curious to hear if Carlos got a chance to check it out. And I don't know if Adam got a chance to check it out. But yeah.
Yeah, you get to play Carlos?
That as a great man once said, that is a phenomenal question. Here's the thing. I did get to play it.
Oh, excuse me?
But I only got to play the campaign. So I tried the multiplayer, and they asked...
You could play the campaign of this beta?
Yes, there's a campaign... version of the beta, and then there's a multiplayer version.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I mean, that's more than we've played here, so that's good enough for me.
Yeah, so I tried the multiplayer. So I was like, oh, let me try the first, play a few matches. Apparently, I need to alter something from my BIOS in order to play it.
Oh, shit.
I forgot what it's Secure Boot, I think it's called.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that's for the anti-cheat stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to bother with it. Unless my buddies here, Rich and Adam, would be like, hey, you want to play? Then I probably would have tried it, you know, try to do that. But, alas, that didn't happen. So I was like, okay, let me try the campaign. And I played it. It was pretty good. I mean, it's a Call of Duty campaign, except it's in, this was in Korea. So you get to fight, you know, alongside and against, Korean, so it was pretty neat. I got in a tank, shot some stuff. It was pretty crazy. I've always liked Call of Duty campaigns, so there's nothing really to complain about those, unless the game doesn't have them. So yeah, it was pretty good. I wish I got to play the multiplayer, but with that bullshit that they pulled, I was like, nah, not today.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I did get a code for the game, but I don't give a fuck about Call of Duty. You know, like, I'm good, bro. Rich, well, you gonna say something?
One other thing I will add, perhaps we will have more to say about this next week, because the beta is going on for another weekend. You know, it's a 2-week event, so we will get a chance to check it out. Maybe we'll have something to say about the multiplayer next week.
I don't know if we can, Rich, because we're not supposed to play our PlayStations this week.
Oh, really? Well, lucky for me, I'm playing on Xbox Series X. So that does not apply to me whatsoever. But salute to everybody that is doing that.
Listen, sure. You know, I've been in solidarity with these guys for the past 2 weeks. I'm gonna turn my PS5 on.
I mean, you mean there's also the option of just unplugging your PlayStation from the fucking the wall,
right?
Not going online.
That's funny, man. All right, before we wrap it up, this is not gaming related at all. But Manny, I want you to tell the story, that Neil Adams story, because I want Jeffrey to hear this shit. I was gonna tell him that, but I'm like, wait, he's here now. You're here. That Neil Adams story with the Spider-Man guy.
Okay, so Neil Adams, you know, for as much as he has done for the comic book industry, you know, like he got, you know, the creators of Superman, you know, royalties for the creation of Superman because they sold it for shit money, right? Because they needed the money. Superman was not, you know, they weren't getting in, and he just sold it all. Anyway, so what happened is also Neil Adams is also notorious for giving awful reviews to artists. He would say things to people like, why are you even doing this? You know, your work is awful. this, you know, lion, you know, we'll throw it out or write all over it, like stuff like awful things. So in this one situation, there was a guy who was the storyboard artist for, well, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. It was very successful, but initially he got such an awful review from Neil Adams that he just pretty much told him, you should quit. Don't even bother. Don't even try to become an artist. You should quit. Your work is so awful. So obviously years later, he decided to go back to Neil Adams. He held on to that shit for years. So he's, you know, very successful. He works on the new Spider-Man, And he did the same thing like he did originally. And Neil Adams gave him another shit review. And he goes, that's funny because I'm currently the storyboard artist for Spider-Man and a bunch of other films. So, yeah. So it's like, shows you what you fucking know, buddy.
Oh, you know? Man. I love
that's
that.
That's the thing I, as a you know, person who works in the industry, you never know who the fuck you're talking to. You know, a thing that you say to somebody could affect a person to the point where they literally, you know, just jump and, you know, become this amazing, you know, amazingly successful. So you treat people, everybody, with the same sort, right? Even if their work is not up to snuff, that doesn't mean that maybe later on they'll come back and you just see the work just blossom. And that's what and I've seen that, you know, as a person where the same people come back to me and I see their work. The guy, like some guys have gotten, you know, work in the industry doing storyboards. You never know who you will be. And Neil Adams, you know, didn't give a shit that he got his head slapped into some shit because of being a dickhead. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I just find it funny because obviously that guy making way more money than Neil Adams.
Neil Adams has done amazing to run an advertisement agency called Continuity Comics or Continuity. He would literally, like, when a comic artist was out of work, he would hire them to do work on advertising campaigns. So you have situations where, like, you know, if guys like Frank Miller didn't have any work, he put them to work and do some boarding jobs, or, you know, some other guys doing some lettering, doing all this other stuff in the advertisements. Awesome stuff. But he was also a fucking dick.
Oh, man. All right. Good stuff. I just wanted you to tell that. Yeah, he enjoyed the story. So there you go. All right, man. Let's start wrapping it up here. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week, and is it about Gamescom?
Well, absolutely. Before I get to that, let me just say, first and foremost, Mr. Adam Vale, Carlos Mirror, and myself, we recorded the latest episode of the I Am Negan podcast for The Walking Dead, Dead City. Fantastic show. That episode is live right now on thecoalition.com, as well as the YouTube channel, The Coalition. Now, on to Gamescom. This is going to be a rather unprecedented week for all types of gaming coverage, so I would recommend you stay tuned for that. Obviously, you know, we are going to be doing something related to this GTA Netflix discussion. We're going to have some type of video for that later in the week, so stay tuned for that. Aside from that, as I've already mentioned, I'm actually playing a couple of games that I'm basically reviewing. Two of these games are coming out very soon, I can't say too much, but I will say you might want to stay tuned to the website, and there's something else that I also, there's an event that I went to back in July that I will be able to finally release that coverage and talk about that as well this week. So definitely stay tuned to thecoalition.com as well as The Coalition Gaming, and there's a lot to look forward to this week. And then, of course, Gamescom, we will be covering that show because I believe that event starts on Tuesday. Microsoft has a press conference also. They have their own event, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday. So, yeah, stay tuned for all of that.
All right, good stuff. Again, shout out to Brett's dog. Manny, what you got?
Dinner date. Can you see it now?
Yes.
We actually have good. So, yeah, dinner date number one, the 7th. Just in time for Halloween, written by Joanne Starr, drawn by Carl Randolph, and colors by myself. Be fun. This is just the final issue, ash can that they put out for Comic-Con. There should be some more news about Dinner Date coming out really soon. Can't talk about that. Also, Let's see. TMNT Journeys number one, covered by Kari Randolph and myself. That's still coming. Yep, that's coming out in September, which is really soon, next month, in a few more days. And then also, you know, keep an eye out in the space, because there's something else that's kind of fun coming along that I think is coming up pretty soon. I don't know. I keep saying this, but just keep an eye out. You know, should be fun stuff. Anyway, yes. Also, not an announcement, but you guys, y'all excited to play MGS? Because that's coming out like next week.
Excuse me.
Yeah, a Master Collection too. And from what people are saying, the MGS4 is not running in through emulation or anything. That thing's a port. It's running on every single console. Pretty good from what people are saying. So
they did the impossible. That's cool.
They did the impossible. So there you go.
Yeah. By the way, the show's technically over, right? But we got a question. last second question. Don't say we don't do anything for you guys. We will answer it because we already kind of went over anyway. That gamer guy, shout out to you. I have a few questions. I only see one here. Basically, he just wants to know, I'll just read it. I have a few questions about the leaks that I saw today and want to know the credibility. So supposedly the leakers said that they will release the full game if they get arrested. Is this true? Yes, they have a dead man switch. They claim to have a dead man switch. So if they get arrested, basically they're doing some kind of check-in every once in a while. And if that check-in doesn't happen, if they get arrested, bam, full game gets released.
Gotta have something.
I believe this. Like, they have the full game. Very obvious they have the full game. Like, when you saw the footage of them literally shooting leak into a fucking wall, they have the full game. So I believe this shit, you know? So yeah. And obviously that comes from the actual cyber leak, themselves. So yeah, that is a thing. So we'll see, you know? But as we said at the top of the show, even if the full game gets out, you know, probably in the end, it won't affect too much, you know? Because again, the game wasn't even going to come out for PC to begin with. Not now, at least. And most normies they probably don't even know this shit is happening, bro. You know, this is, again, it hasn't even made normie media yet. You know, you don't see CNN or Fox or whatever talking about this shit. So it's very much an insider gaming thing at the moment. This shit just gets very interesting, very, very interesting, you know? So stay tuned for that. You know, and with that, we are out of here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. Again, shout out to the Discord chat. You guys have kept things very lively this past week, for sure, with all the GTA stuff. And also, and I brought this up in a chat. I'll do it now. If you want to post GTA gameplay stuff, go ham. I don't care. Just be careful. And none of you guys have done this yet. But just to be safe, do not post any story shit. That's all I ask. Like full-on cinemas and shit, leak stuff. No, don't do that. But gameplay stuff, like especially if it's like standard GTA shit, getting inside a car, flying a plane, go nuts. You know, I don't care about that. But just be careful with the story stuff. And obviously, we're gonna be covering that Netflix special that comes on, I believe, on Thursday when it's like an hour and a half before we go live. So we will give you our full review of that, you know, and obviously you guys are free to post whatever you want from that special. Although I suspect that fucking special is going to get leaked beforehand, bro. You know, that might be my Miss Cleo moment, son, you know. So we'll see. But yeah, this week's going to be interesting. We've got Gamescom, got the GTA 6 stuff, and probably more shenanigans or hijinks, if you will, from cyber leaks. So stay tuned, you know. But yeah, if you want to find us, find us on your favorite podcast app. We're there. Whatever you listen to, man. Apple, Spotify, you know. Fucking Samsung has podcasts and shit. We're all over the place, bro. And for links to everything, check the description down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch. It's been real, party people. And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right, guys. Throwdown shall return, and we are on the road to 600. Later.
Later.
Really?